invite you to reach and grab your copy of God's Word and turn back to the Gospel of Luke as we continue our new sermon series that we started last week, our new teaching series entitled The Heart of Jesus. If you happen to be new here, and love, already met some first-timers ever to Cottonwood today, and we're glad that you're here. If you are new here, I began the new year with a teaching series entitled Life Matters More When We Honor God. And we looked at God's Word and discovered the five key areas that as we look from Genesis to Revelation, from beginning to end, five key areas that we can honor God with in our lives. And then last week we started, if we understand, okay, here's how I honor God with my life, those five key areas. Last week, I changed and started a new series. As we study through the Gospel of Luke, we want to discover the heart of Jesus. And it becomes abundantly clear as you begin studying through the Gospel of Luke what Jesus's heart is. His heart is to seek and to save that which is lost. His heartbeat is this idea: it's not those who are healthy that need a doctor, but those who are sick. And so last week we started with, as you saw that video right there, we started with Luke chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to his disciples and he says, "Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." Really, I will enable you, empower you, encourage you to catch men alive with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the heart of Jesus for every disciple we looked at, every one of his followers we looked at last week, is that each and every one of us would be a fisher of men. Now, today, as we go to Luke chapter 8, Jesus says, here's how you do it. Here's how you fish for people. And so today I want to bring you a message from Luke chapter 8, simply entitled this: the heart of Jesus is that we as his followers would constantly be sowing the seeds of the gospel into every person that we come into contact with. And he uses the analogy of a farmer in Luke chapter 8 that we're going to see, a farmer going out and sowing seed. I'm reminded of a man that he had been an incredibly successful businessman, but he had worked 7 days a week all of his life, sun up to sundown, but he had been exceedingly successful, but he was completely burnt out. As he moved towards retirement, he says, I'm just going to sell everything. And so he sold his mansion down in North Dallas, and he sold his business down in Dallas, and decided to move out to Texas. And he bought this massive ranch, and sure enough, after he had built his house out there, he realized, he was in Pittsburgh, Texas, that he was living right next door to Bo Pilgrim. How many of you are familiar with Pilgrims? And he was living right next door to Bo. And sure enough, his mansion, they ended up striking up a conversation, talking, sharing with each other. And the guy went over one day and said, "Bo, I've been looking for something just to settle down with, to do with." He goes, "Can I buy 100 chickens for you? Maybe that'll help me relax. I just want to start raising chickens." And so Bo said, "Sure." So he sold him 100 chickens. It was a couple of weeks later, about 2 weeks later, finally they crossed paths in East Texas, and Bo says, "Hey, how are the chickens?" And the guy says, "Man, I don't know what happened. They all died." And he says, "Can I buy another 100? I want to try it again." And Bo says, "Well, man, something must have been wrong with that first 100 I gave you." He says, "Here's another 100. You can have them for free." And so he goes back to his house, and after about 2 weeks, they cross paths again. And Bo says, "How the chicken?" He goes, "They all died too." And Bo's like, "What happened?" And the guy says, "Well, I don't know if I'm planting them too deep or not far enough apart." Okay, the reality of it is, he didn't know how to raise chickens. And so today I want to talk to you, if we're going to be a farmer for the gospel, if we're going to sow our seeds for the gospel, we've got to know how to plant our seed. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells a story. Just like in Luke chapter 4, there was a large crowd gathered around, and he looked at his disciples and said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." In Luke chapter 8, we're going to read it here again. Jesus tells a story about a farmer going out to sow his seed. And the reality of it is, there is an undeniable reality in each and every one of our lives, your life, my life, everybody's life, that one of the things that keeps us from sowing the seeds of the gospel with those we work with and those we are friends with and those we are neighbors with is that we are fearful they will reject us. Let's be honest. How many of you know that's a little bit of it, right? We are afraid. Well, what if I go to my neighbor and I invite them to church? What if I go to the person across the street and share my faith? What if I go to someone at the office tomorrow morning and talk about, man, God's just spoke to me at church yesterday, and I'd like to invite you to church? One of the reasons that we are not willing to share the gospel is because we are afraid of rejection. We are afraid of someone being resistant to the gospel witness, to us sowing our seeds in their lives. And that's why I love this parable in Luke chapter 8. Because in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is going to tell us that the farmer just went out and sowed the seed. The farmer does not prejudge the soil. The farmer absolutely expects that some soil will not be receptive to the seeds of the gospel. But guess what his call is as a farmer? To sow anyway. To sow anyway. And so the encouragement for you and the encouragement for me as I journey from this place today after receiving God's word is this, that I would sow seed regardless of the kind of soil I encounter. That I would sow seed regardless of the kind of soil I encounter. I ran across one preacher, one guy who was kind of a commentator, said something pretty witty and funny, and he says, most Christians today, when it comes to God's word, we get all we can all we get, and then we sit on our cans. I'm going to say that again, pretty good. He said, most people, many Christians today, when it comes to God's word, we get all we can all we get, and then we sit on our cans. Man, we go to life group and we hear a good lesson and we put it in the can. We come to a service and hear the pastor preach in this church a decent message from time to time and we put it in the can. We go to BSF and the men, man, we grow there and the women grow there. Then we go to men's discipleship and a women's discipleship. And guess what? We're getting the word of God and we're stuffing it in the can. And then we just sit on our cans. And if we're truly going to be followers of Christ, we can't be a church that gets all we cans all we get, and then sits on our can. But neither can we be that way as individual believers. When I receive the word of God, and hopefully you are today receiving it well, your good soil, I will take that seed and I will put it in a basket, in a bag, just like a farmer in those days. And we'll walk out, and all this week I will be scattering the seed. But there is always that concern. There's always that fear of rejection. What if some people won't hear? And so let's look at Luke chapter 8. Let's see the parable, the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 8. And let's just journey through it and let's glean from this story what Christ would want us to have. And then let's take it and apply it to our lives as we make our journey today. Here we go. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Boy, as you look at it, it's kind of interesting as you look through this as this passage. That word scattering seed, it really means that the farmer goes out and indiscriminately scatters seed. In other words, the farmer, those of us who are believers, those of us who are followers of Christ, we don't look around for the perfect plot of ground, find one seed, and we place it right there. Instead, we ought to be scattering the seed. It's almost as if we are scattering seed indiscriminately. We're just throwing it. We're not prejudging the soil. We're not saying, well, that guy doesn't look like he's going to be receptive. I'm going to sow anyway. That girl doesn't look like she's going to be receptive. I'm going to sow anyway. He says we ought to go scattering our seed. In other words, our seed is worthless if it never hits the ground. But then it's also interesting, if you look at that Greek word, particularly in verse 5 there, you don't see it in the English translation because I was kind of overdo it in the English translation, but that Greek word sow is used in the Greek there four times. It says sowing, the farmer sowed when he went out sowing, he sowed his seed. That'd be kind of laborious to read in the English, wouldn't it? But that's really what he's saying. Jesus, in that day, those hearers in that day understood very clearly that the farmer's number one job, his first priority, was to get the seed on the ground. And it's interesting, in Palestinian day at that time, and sometimes in this time, a lot of times we have the mindset that we have to plow the field and plow the field and plow the field because we grew up after the advent of combines and all of these wonderful plots and the irrigation places and all of that stuff where we see these beautiful manicured places and then they go out and sow the seed. And the Palestinian day, oftentimes the farmer would go out and sow the seed, then he would plow. He would plow afterwards. Other times, you would plow the ground before, and the reality of it is there are some times that we lead with the seed, and sometimes we lead with the plow. Sometimes we develop a relationship with somebody, and then all of a sudden we bring the seeds of the gospel. Other times, because of who we are and where they are in their crisis situation, we lead with the seed. The reality of it is it doesn't matter whether you lead with the seed or you lead with the plow as long as the seed doesn't stay in the bag. Does that make sense? So let's go on and let's continue to read and notice here what he says. Back to verse 5, he says, the farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled by, and the birds ate it up. Then drop down to verse 6, it says, some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because it did not hold enough moisture. It says, verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it, and then choked out the plants. Then look at verse 8. It says, still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Now listen to Jesus' words. He says, when he had said this, he called out to those who are hearers. He said this, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Now notice, as you look here, the farmer didn't prejudge the soil. The farmer did not worry about wasting seed. The farmer knew, if I'm going to have a crop, I've got to sow the seed. Well, where do we sow? Where should we sow? Just write this down. If you're new here, always put an insert, a sermon notes that you can take, and hopefully as you study and as you read, we learn a little more. Where do we sow? Write this word in there. Everywhere. We sow everywhere. At the office, in the neighborhood, wherever we are, as we make our journey along life's trail, everywhere. Who do we sow with? Everyone. We don't prejudge the soil. Well, what about the soil? Let's look. And as we walk through here, let me just talk to you. Some people, here's the reality of it is, and this is what this parable tells us, some people don't want to hear the gospel. You know what our response is? So anyway, write that down. Some people don't want to hear. I love the beauty of this parable, and Jesus often told stories and parables. He would tell a parable, a story. What is a parable? It's an earthly story with an earthly image, but also has heavenly meanings or spiritual connotations. For everyone in that day, unlike our day, almost everyone that day was either a carpenter or an agrarian. And they certainly understood the idea of sowing and harvesting. And so Jesus tells them this very practical story, one they truly could identify with. Many of them actually practiced this. They had learned it from their dads and their grandfathers over and over and over again that, man, if a farmer wants to reap a crop, he's got to sow the seed. And so they saw this earthly image, and Jesus took and put a spiritual meaning on it. And so for us today, although we may not be agrarians, we need to identify with the story. That we have the seeds. Then Jesus goes on and he explains, here's exactly what the parable means. Because a lot of people, they want to step back and say, all right, and I think a lot of people get off in the ditch because they want to go in here and say, all right, now, which kind of these soils are Christian, which one's not? Did that one gain salvation and then lose salvation? That's not the point. The point here is that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be like farmers who sow seed regardless of the soil. But the reality of it is, Jesus said some people don't want to hear the gospel. Look at it in verse 12. He says those, and here's his explanation, those along the path are the ones who hear the gospel, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that what? They may not believe and be saved. Man, those are people that they just want to hear the gospel. They're just hard to the gospel. You share the good news. You share the gospel. You invite them to church. Their hearts are hard. And they may have a variety of reasons. Remember, these are the ones that the birds take it away. It says Satan comes along and he snatches it away. My job is not, listen to this, my job is not to judge the soil. My job is to sow the seed, right? That's it. And so I want to encourage you, if there is someone, and my guess is, just like your life, there's someone in my life, there's several people in my life where, man, just because of the way they treat me or whatever, because they found out, if y'all didn't know, I've got this preaching gig. And some people know that, and boy, it's like they just shut it off. And I could easily say, well, they're not open to the gospel. They're not open to the gospel. They're not open to the gospel. Listen, my call is to sow anyway. Your call, my guess is you have some people in your life that, man, if you just think about them, you think there is a wall that is there, and you know what? They may not want to hear, but that still does not relieve the farmer or the follower of Jesus from the responsibility of sowing our seed. Here's a second thought as you continue to read it on. He says, some people just flat out aren't ready to hear. Some people aren't ready to hear. What's our response? We see it in verse 13. We should sow anyway. Look at it in verse 13. He says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but listen to this, they have no root. They believe for a while, but the time of testing comes and they fall away. Now, if you want to underline that word testing, Luke actually uses that word testing, that Greek word testing, two other times. And a lot of times we often hear, and as I did my research and my study and preparing for this passage, oftentimes people say, man, trials come their way. They have financial difficulty, or they get sick, or they are this or that. And there is something to that in that passage. That sometimes, man, if somebody receives the gospel, they hold on to it for a season, but they go through some difficulties. They get drawn away from church or drawn away from the faith. They fall away. And that's certainly an aspect of that word. But if you look at the two other places that that Greek word is used by Luke in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, you'll see something a little more intriguing. If you go look in Luke chapter 22, verse 40, Jesus has just instituted the Lord's Supper. He's washed the disciples' feet. He goes out. He's told them, I'm about to be delivered into the hands of sinful men, right? So Jesus goes out and he's praying on the mountain and he tells the disciples, I am going to pray for you so that when persecution comes, you will not fall away. Remember that prayer? That's what Jesus prayed. He prayed for the disciples. And you say, well, what happened, Pastor? Anybody remember Peter? Cock-a-doodle-oo? Right? Jesus prayed that they would not fall away. What did Peter do? This word right here, Greek word. He fell away. Jesus prayed that when we were persecuted, we would not fall away. I think, sure, he's talking here about difficult times and trials, but more importantly, he's saying, listen, if someone begins to get persecuted for their faith, they will not fall away. You say, Pastor, you said this Greek word was used two other places. You can also find it over in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, where the Apostle Paul, and by the way, Luke wrote the Gospel of Acts. Luke is sitting there recounting what Paul said, and Paul told the Ephesian believers, when I was with you, I did not fall away, even though I was overcome with intense persecution. He says, man, the Pharisees and the Sadducees began to persecute me, but I did not fall away. So the reality of it is, yes, some people may fall away. They begin to move towards the faith, and then all of a sudden a difficulty happens or a hardship happens, and they turn away. Other people, he said, they fall away because they get persecuted, they get mocked. You know, all of a sudden they begin to go back to their family. They didn't grow up in a believing family. And what happens, they begin to get a little bit excited about their faith. I know as a young person, and we're not necessarily talking here, by the way, about losing your salvation. That's really not the whole point of the passage. But I can remember many times, and if you're a young person, if you're in college, if you're in here, how many times that I would go to a youth camp or I'd go to something, and man, I'd get touched by God. And for those of you who know my story, you know I wasn't a pastor all my life. And there were little times and little seasons when I'd go back and say, you know what, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to go live my faith. I'm going to walk my faith. And guess what? I got in that locker room and began to shrivel up and what? Shrink back and fall away. And all it would take is somebody to mock me just a little bit and I would drift away. What's my call? Is I'm to sow anyway. Some people are going to shrink back because of persecution. Here's the next thing. Look at this soil. Some people are too busy or have everything they need. Some people are too busy or have everything you need. We see that right there in verse 14. Jesus, again, continuing to explain this parable. He said, some of the seed fell among the thorns. And that stands for those who hear. But as they go their way, they are choked out by life's worries or the riches and pleasures of this world. Therefore, they do not mature. Hey, that's the reality of it is. Jesus said, man, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. What is he saying? He's saying some people, they'll receive the word of God. They'll be in a service and say, man, I've got to get passionate. I've got to get passionate about my faith. I've got to get convicted about my faith. I've got to carry out my faith. Then they leave out of here and guess what? Man, the pleasures of the world and life's treasures and those things that they come so dear, that's what they find that they love more than the gospel, than they love more than God's word. And what happens? They get distracted. And the problem is, he says what? They don't let God's word, God's seed, grow up and mature. And instead they shrink back. And it's always the call of life's pleasures and life's treasures and life's things that keep them from being deeply rooted and planted and bear incredible fruit in God's house. But what's our job? It's to sow anyway. Here's the next thought. You can write this down. Some people are ready and just need the seed, but you'll never know until you sow. Some people are ready. All they need is the seed, but we will never know until we sow. Remember, we can't prejudge. We can't prejudge the soil. The farmer just went out and said, I've got this much land. I'm going to cast my seed everywhere. Some's going to fall on a hard, resistant surface. Some, the thorns are going to grow up and it's going to eat away. Some, it's going to grow up, but it's not going to produce fruit. But some is great soil. Look at what Jesus said. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart. In other words, who hear the word, retain it, persevere, then they produce a crop. What is he talking about? Man, think about a seed. A seed goes on good soil. It germinates. It kind of begins to rot. It begins to dig down. It expands the roots. All of a sudden, then that seed, for it to become anything, it's got to endure sometimes scorching heat, flood-worthy rains, high winds, sun, difficult days. But if it is faithful, that seed will persevere and produce incredible fruit. But you and I, listen to this, before we cast our seed, we can't prejudge the soil. And sometimes, I believe many times and too often, we prejudge the soil. We want to make sure that those that we share the gospel with and share our faith with, they look like us, talk like us, act like us, walk like us, do all of those things, because those are the only ones that are ready for the gospel. I'll submit to you, sometimes those are the most resistant ones. They're self-righteous and they're arrogant, and their heart isn't ready for the seed of the gospel. Well, You say, Pastor, all right, if I'm supposed to be like the farmer, if I'm supposed to sow the seed, what is our seed? Write this down. It's just real simple. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. That God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins, to pay the price for your sins and the sins of the world, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. The Word of God is the seed. You say, Pastor, how do you know the Word of God is a seed? Well, look at what Jesus said. I love that. Jesus gives us a parable. He explains the parable. Then He tells us what the seed is right there in verse 11. He says this. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. Everybody say that. The seed is the Word of God. Well, if you take the whole parable and the whole analogy, it's pretty clear. If the seed's the Word of God, we are the farmers that plant. Guess what? The soil is representative of every person we come into contact with, every person in life. Some of them are going to have an hard exterior. Some of them are going to have a soft exterior. Some of them are going to have clean lifestyles. Some of them are going to have some thorns and thistles, right? Our job is to sow anyway. I love what one writer said. There are four things every believer must do with the seed or the Word of God. First, we have to admit it is the Word of God. Then we have to commit it to our hearts and minds. Then we have to submit to it as the Word of God. And then we have to transmit it to the world. Did you get that? Number one, if we are going to be the kind of follower of Jesus Christ that we're called to be, those four things. We have to admit it is the Word of God. We have to commit it to our hearts and minds. We have to submit to its every word, and then we have to transmit it to the world. Let me ask you a question. Have you done all four? Have I done all four? Do I do all four? There are a lot of people, I believe, a lot of believers, probably many perhaps, even in this place right here, that we admit that God's Word, that the seed is God's Word. We admit the Bible is the Word of God. We have oftentimes committed it to our hearts and minds. We memorize Scripture, right? And many times we submit to it in our lives, but we don't transmit it very well. And it's all four of those. If we're going to be good farmers, we have to do all four. Transmit it to those around. Jonathan Edwards, that great preacher from the 1700s, several hundred years ago, he said this about church in his day. All right? And let's see if we can draw an analogy to church in our day. He says, there is a major problem in churches these days. Believers are cooping themselves up in rooms, and that cooping themselves up in rooms has dampened the work of God, which was never meant to be carried out for any other purpose than to be shared in the highways and byways of life. Jonathan Edwards, back in the 1700s, looking at the church of that day, he said, you know what? It seems like a lot of believers love to come to the house of God and spend time in the house of God. And he used the word cooping themselves up to study God's Word. But we have to always remember that is not the primary purpose of the seed of the gospel. Its primary purpose is always that it would be cast in the highways and the byways. And how many times do we do the same thing? We come together for worship, then we have life group, we have a small group, we have this, we have that. And we study it. We admit it is the Word of God. We commit it to memory. We submit to it, but we don't transmit it. So what is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. All right, so then the question is there anything else? Absolutely, as we look through God's Word, the seed's also our actions and our attitude. The seed's also our actions and our attitude. It's kind of remember when you were a kid, you grew up, and I can't remember if I was in first grade or 12th grade. I wasn't paying attention in school. Remember you had show and tell? How many of you remember show and tell? All right, that way they got you talking in front of the class. You would carry something in, a baseball, I hit a home run with this, or I did this, or you'd carry something in, you would show it to the class, and then you would tell everybody the story behind it. Here's what it is, here's what it is. And that's the reality. The gospel is show and tell. It's not just tell, it's not just show. If all we do is show, and all we do is all of our works become good works, and we just feed the hungry, and we do a lot of incredible good works. Just go to our mission site. Look at our missions panel every week in our Creed Guide. We always have something going on, but if all we're doing is just showing the Word of God, but never telling the Word of God, that's only half the gospel. At the same time, there are many churches and many followers and many believers. They will tell the Word of God. Man, they will get in your face. They will fire and brimstone you to death. In fact, they will pour gas on you and light you and say, Jesus did it. But they don't show the gospel. They don't show grace. They don't show loving kindness. It is both. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God, and how do we share the Word of God? By telling. But he also says, we see this throughout Scripture, is we do it by showing as well. Look at what Paul says. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. What is he saying? It's a show and a tell. We tell people what the Word of God says, but we show them what the Word of God says also. It's show and tell. So as we think about going out to sow our seed this week, I want to close by just giving you a few laws of sowing and reaping. Turn over in your Bibles, if you have them there, to Galatians chapter 6. Let me just read what Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 10 says. And then we're going to clean some clear principles when we go out here and we leave here today sowing and reaping. It says this in verse 7. A man reaps what he sows in verse 7. He says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh they will reap destruction. He says, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us never become weary in doing good, sowing our seed. He says, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Look at verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of God. Now, as we think about these laws of sowing and reaping, here's a couple of thoughts. All right, you ready? You always, write this down, you always reap what you sow. You always reap after you sow. You always reap where you sow. And you always reap more than you sow. Now, let me break that down just a little bit. We always reap what you sow. In other words, what did Paul say? He says, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap the Spirit. If you sow the gospel, you're going to reap a spiritual harvest in other people. If you never show the gospel, don't be shocked if you don't reap. There's also a reflective nature. Remember I said we sow seeds of the gospel with our words, but we also with our actions. Show it with our attitude and our actions. If all you do, when you encounter people, when you come into contact with people in your life, if you're a gruff, grumpy, angry, bitter person, don't be shocked. If you reap what you sow, that they are angry, gruff, bitter people right back. Why? If we sow in anger, bitterness, hardness into someone, don't be shocked. When you say, hey, you want to go to church with me? And they go, absolutely not. In fact, I'd prefer not to be in the room with you right now. Man, if we really want to have an impact, if we want to do everything we can to make the soil open to hearing the gospel, the words, man, we have to show them through our actions. And what we offer is also what we get back. But then notice that second idea there. You reap what you sow, but you oftentimes reap after you sow. A farmer doesn't go out in a day and expect to plant his seed in the morning and reap a harvest that afternoon, do they? No, they know sometime later, I'm going to sow, I'm going to plow, and I'm going to sow, and then I'm going to harvest, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to hope it rains, and I'm going to hope it rains at the right time. And then at a certain point, all of a sudden, I'm going to see something come out of the ground, and it's going to grow, and it's going to move. You always reap after you sow. You say, how much after? I don't know. I did some study on seeds this week. I don't know a lot about growing things, but I just heard that an apple seed will never germinate unless it's been through a winter and been frozen. Didn't know that. So what does that mean? Boy, you put an apple seed in the ground, if it hadn't been frozen, it's going to sit there until it's been frozen at least once. Coconut seed must soak in water for at least 3 days before it'll germinate. Conifer seeds, the pine tree. I didn't know this. I didn't realize this. I grew up in Houston, lots of pine trees around. A conifer seed will never, well, listen to this, it will never germinate in the ground unless it's been hit by fire. And guess what? If you think about it, think about these all these pine trees out there. All of a sudden, you have all of these seeds that are in the ground that never anything will happen. You let a fire roll through there, guess what? As the existing trees are dying, the seeds are germinating. You never know. Man, the trials in someone's life, you plant the gospel and they're hard, they're angry, they're bitter, they're resistant to the gospel. But then all of a sudden, you let a trial, you let the heat get turned up in their life, and all of a sudden the germination of the gospel will go through. Some seeds will grow pretty quickly after, man. I ran across the broccoli family, some of the brassicas or whatever. It can germinate, grow, and produce its fruit in less than 3 weeks. Man, you put it in there, you're having broccoli, or this kind of broccoli or whatever it is, in 3 weeks. Corn stalks, I've never been around this, but I've heard about it. I've heard people talk about it. You go up through Nebraska or Iowa or some of those places where they grow corn, that in the midst of the rapid growing season, you can stand in the middle. Corn stalks grow so fast that you can stand in the middle of the field and you can hear them grow. I don't know if that's exactly what they sound like. But you can go out here and say, my pastor does the greatest impersonation of corn growing. But they say that you can go stand in the middle of a cornfield and you can hear it grow, just a snap, crackle, pop. But then there are other things that take a long time to grow. I was reading an article that there are some archaeologists and researchers who opened up some of these ancient Egyptian pyramids that were built over 3,000 years ago. And as they were sorting through all the artifacts, they found some lotus seeds in these ancient Egyptian pyramids. It'd been sitting there for 3,000 years. Well, guess what scientists want to do? Let's plant them and see what happens. They begin to germinate. Some of the seeds of the gospel you start planting this week may not germinate for a decade or two decades or more. But all of a sudden it gets in the right soil in the right place. But you sow, you reap after you sow. Next, he says, you reap where you sow. Man, our families, our neighbors, there where we are in our church, we should be sowing and reaping right where we are. Finally, you always reap more than you sow. I love that. You reap more than you sow. Man, when a farmer goes out and plants a seed, he expects what? Something to grow up and produce more than what they planted. I ran across this little poem that says, you can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. Did you get that? You and I can go there and we can cut open an apple and we can divide them all out and we can count the seeds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but you put a seed in the ground, an apple seed in the ground, it eventually freezes and grows up into a tree. Only God can count the apples in the seed. What a beautiful thought that we will reap more than we sow. I was reading an article this week about redwood trees and stuff like that, and somebody surmised that studied all of, how many of you have been up into northwestern California and stuff like you've just seen those redwoods, just one of the things I want to go there, you drive through some of them, massive. The seeds that those grow from are so little that this one scientist estimated that you could get all of the seeds for all of those big California trees in 1 pound bag. Doesn't take much seed, especially when it's the gospel, to grow like those redwoods. But we have to be faithful to sow. You say, Pastor, when should I sow? Love what Solomon said, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. Here's your last verse today. What do I do tomorrow? You sow your seed in the morning. What do I do in the evening? And at evening, let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether it is this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Man, when you leave here today, plan to sow your seed. So let's go into this. I got this at the bottom of your insert. Let's put it into practice. Number one, you ready? Putting this message into practice right there on your insert. Whatever you don't judge the soil, just sow the seed. Don't judge the soil, just sow the seed. Number two, look, you can write, list some names of some people that you know in your heart right now. I need to start sowing some seed with them. And if you want to hear more about this, all my blogs that I've already done this week and my radio spots are all about sowing your seed and to encourage you to continue to sow your seed. As we close today, I want to just invite you, whatever God is doing in your life, there's someone here that you're struggling, you're hurting. You're struggling with something going on in your life. At the end of this service today, our altar team is going to be right down front. If you just want to come and pray that God would move in your life, or maybe there's someone that you've been sowing seed in, a son or a daughter or somebody you work with, and you just want God to do a special work in their life, you just come and you pray with them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to just be a farmer for you. God, let us be a church that is filled with faithful people who will simply leave here and plant seeds. Not judge soil. God, let us not be a church and a people and followers that judge the soil. Let us be people who simply sow seeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.